Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord has entrusted all of us with a lot to take care of on our short journey here on this earth. Let me mention five things. He's given you yourself with your talents. I'll come back to that word a little bit later. With your talents, things that you're good at, things that maybe indicate the direction your life should take later on as you wonder what God wants you to do. One of the little checking points you have is, well, what has the Lord made me good at, right? He wants you to take care of that talent, those talents in the narrow sense of the word, and to use those things that you're good at in a very wise and responsible manner. And if he's given you a husband or a wife, then he also wants you to take good care of your spouse. To love your spouse like Jesus loves the church. It's quite something, really. And the wife to submit to the husband in the good sense of the word, like the congregation submits to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to make something beautiful of your marriage for God and for each other. And thirdly, if God has given you children, then he wants you to take good care of your children. To do what you can in the power of the Holy Spirit to raise your children in the fear of the Lord. To make something beautiful, at least to be used by God to make something beautiful of the lives of your children. And fourthly, he's given you each other in the communion of the saints. He's given you this congregation to be a hand and a foot to one another. As you travel the journey together to the new heaven and the new earth, there's no such thing as a lone ranger Christianity, that you serve God on your own. Christianity, by definition, is corporate, is group. Jesus has a body, and he brings people to faith in the body. And if he brings them to faith outside the body, then he brings them into the body, where we have been gifted as well with different spiritual gifts for the edification of the body. God wants you and me to take good care of that as well. And last, not least, he's given you your earthly possessions. He's given you money and things that money can buy. And God also wants you and me to take good care, to be good stewards, right? Good managers of the money and what we all buy with our money for the sake of God, for the sake of looking after ourselves, but especially for the sake of looking after the needs of others, because most of us receive more than we need for ourselves. And so the question I'd like to ask you, and the question that perhaps we should take with us as we listen to this sermon, also in the light of the theme, we need to be wise and faithful servants. Ask yourself the question, And I have to ask myself that question too. How faithful are you and I in making something creatively beautiful with what the Lord has entrusted us to take care of? How faithful? And also ask yourself, how wise are you in lovingly making something beautiful of what the Lord has entrusted you and me to take care of? On this short sojourn of our life here on this earth. Now, I ask these questions because one day you and I will have to give an account of what we have done with what God has entrusted to us to take care of. We read together from Matthew 24. And there were two little pericopes in there. The first pericope is about what happens when Jesus returns. And it was about one being taken and one being left. And that little pericope is illustrated in Matthew 25 with the parable of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. Five were taken and five were left. So those two things, they line up like that. And then the second little passage or pericope was also about when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And it was about a wise and a foolish servant. And that little pericope lines up with our text of this afternoon. The talents. Because that little passage, our passage, our text of this afternoon, has two wise servants and one foolish servant. So they line up like that. And that's why I read that passage. There's one little difference with that second pericope, because the foolish servant was a prodigal servant, a wasteful servant. And the foolish servant in our text was not a prodigal servant. He was not wasteful in the sense that that man was wasteful in Matthew 24. He didn't engage in loose living with wine, women, and song. That was not his lifestyle. And yet he was still foolish. But other than that, the comparison is correct across the line. Now, our text is about a man going on a journey and a man coming back from a journey. And you know who the man is. The man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he goes on a journey, that refers to his ascension into heaven after his resurrection from the dead. And when he comes back from his journey, that refers to his return to judge the living and the dead and to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. Now, before the man leaves, he calls his servants to himself. And those servants are you and me. As Lord's Day 1 says so beautiful, I am not my own, but I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. To these servants, that's us. And that's one of the reasons why Paul, in his epistles, often calls himself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think one of the nicest things you can have put on your tombstone when you die is, here lies so-and-so, servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't his own. She wasn't his own. He or she belonged to Jesus. And he or she wanted to make something beautiful, creatively and lovingly beautiful, with her life, with what God had entrusted to him or her. Servant of Jesus Christ. And the master entrusts his goods or his property to these servants. Now you have to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the world. He created everything. The Father creates through the Son in the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by the Word, right? So this Jesus, who has a human body, became, the Son became human and man. He's actually also the Creator. So when he entrusts his property, his goods to his servants, it means that he entrusts his creation, this world, to his servants to make something beautiful out of created reality, such as yourself, your spouse, right? Family, church, possessions, and so forth. More precisely, he gives his servants a part of creation. And that part is called a talent. I said I'd come back to the word talent. You can speak of talent in the narrow sense, what you're good at, playing the organ, right? Playing other musical instruments. There's all sorts of things we're good at. That's talent in the narrow sense. But talent in the wide sense is like what God has entrusted to us. Ourselves, our spouse, our family, our congregation, our money, our possessions. That's all called a talent. And each servant, according to our text, is given according to ability. One gets 5, one gets 2, and one gets 1. No one gets too little, or no one gets too much to take care of. So never be envious of someone else whom you think has more, because maybe we couldn't handle that anyway, because what we have is given according to our ability. Not only is it given to our ability, what is given to us is also very valuable. A talent of gold in those days weighed anywhere between 26 to 30 kilos. And I checked on the internet. A kilo of gold today is worth $53,500. So that means that a talent of gold today would be worth $1.6 million. So even if we only have one talent, according to our text, what you and I have is worth $1.6 million. So it's very valuable, no matter what you have. Now, before the master leaves, he doesn't give any specific instructions to his servants on how to use the talents. He doesn't say, well, make sure you do this, and make sure you don't do that, and don't do that. Right? The master is not a micromanager. He doesn't do that. He just gives him the talents. And do something with the talents. And so the emphasis would seem to be on creative use, innovative use. Be innovative with what Jesus has entrusted to you. Be creative with what the Lord has given you. And be productive with what the Lord has given you. Because we see in our text that the one who has been given 5 makes 5 more. And the one who has been given two makes two more. That means that the master, Jesus, is interested in interest in our lives. So he gives you your talents in the narrow sense of the word. Now use those talents because I want to get interest out of that talent that I've given you in the narrow sense. When I come back and I check 40 years later, I want you to be more beautiful with those talents than you already were 40 years ago when I gave you the talent. The same with our spouse, our marriage. Our marriage, I think in the light of our text, should be more beautiful, creatively and innovatively more beautiful at the end of our lives than it was at the beginning of our lives. As well as our life together as brothers and sisters in the congregation. As well as the use of our money and our possessions. At the beginning you had this, and at the end you have that, and look at the interest. Yeah, not the interest in the bank. Not that interest. Look at the interest that the Lord Jesus Christ got out of all of that monetary stuff that he invested in your life. That's what God is interested in. And that's how I came to my theme for this afternoon. If we want to be faithful and wise servants of what the Lord Jesus has entrusted to us to take care of, we need to creatively and lovingly make something beautiful of it for our Savior. And when we do, we will be rewarded accordingly when the Master returns. The emphasis in the Christian life is on what is done with what we have been entrusted with. If I formulate it theologically, very correctly, you would say it this way. The emphasis of the Christian life is on what the Lord Jesus Christ produces in your life through his Holy Spirit with what he's given you. And thus we will be rewarded accordingly. And the reward that we receive pales in comparison with what we have been entrusted with. Oh, faithful servant, you have been faithful in very little. I will put you in charge of very much. Go back to yourself. You've been given yourself. You may have been given a marriage. You may have been given children. You have been given brothers and sisters in the church. And you have been given money and possessions. This is just a little bit. It's just a little bit. Just a little bit that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. And if we are faithful in this little bit, this eeny-wee tiny little bit that the Lord gives us, by the grace of God, God puts us in charge of a whole lot because we get to rule with Jesus on a new earth, and that's a lot. And if that's the case, if what we receive in this life is just a little bit, it's like a testing case. Like, how faithful can brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, how faithful can they be in the little bit that I give them as a preparation for the life of glory? Because if they can't even be faithful in the little bit that I give them, how in the world Are they ever going to rule together with Jesus over a new earth? They can't handle that, right? Well, the servant who did not creatively and lovingly make something beautiful with his life, he's not entrusted with anything when Jesus returns. In fact, he's not even going to be there on a new earth. He's thrown in the outer darkness where there'll be gnashing of teeth. It's an interesting metaphor. You know what we tend to do when we do something dumb. When we do something dumb, we can actually literally gnash our teeth and we say, "Oh, I wish I wouldn't have been that dumb." You kind of regret being so. Forgive me for using the stupid word, but you know, you gnash your teeth. It's the same in hell. Everybody in hell will know that God wanted them to make something beautiful, creatively and lovingly beautiful with their lives for God. And they know that. It's written on their hearts. But they didn't want to do it. Yeah, and then they wake up in hell. And they go, right? I wish I wouldn't have been that dumb. So the one with the one talent ends up in hell. Even though he wasn't a prodigal servant. No loose living. He had simply conserved. Politically speaking, he would be a conservative. Religiously, he was a conservative. He just conserved everything that was entrusted to him. What was his problem? His problem was that Jesus got no interest out of his life. He didn't creatively and lovingly make something beautiful with his life. In fact, actually, he had no use for Jesus. Actually, he hates Jesus. You see that in those words that he speaks. "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed." Well, he knew that. He had no use for Jesus. And in the end, Jesus has no use for him. Jesus can't use him on the new earth. And so we're full circle to our theme. If we want to be faithful and wise servants of what the Lord Jesus Christ has entrusted to us to take care of, we need to creatively and lovingly make something beautiful out of that for God. And I'm also full circle to the beginning of my sermon. How are you, brothers and sisters, creatively and lovingly making something beautiful of what the Lord Jesus Christ has entrusted to you to take care of? Remember, one day we have to give an account. Go back to yourself with what Jesus as the Creator has invested in your life as a person, with your talents in the narrow sense of the word. How much interest has Jesus gotten out of that? Move over to your marriage. How much interest is and has the Lord Jesus Christ gotten out of your relationship as husband and wife? Is your marriage more beautiful now than it was before? Has there been creative growth, loving growth, Not saying that you can never go back 2 steps, but I hope you go forward 3 steps, right? You understand the question. Your family life. Your children. I know children can leave the church and they can leave the Lord, even though you've done what you could to raise them in the fear of the Lord. I know that happens. But the question is, have you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, done what you could to make something lovingly and creatively beautiful of the children that God has entrusted to your care? And your brothers and sisters in this local congregation, how much time and energy do you invest in your brothers and sisters? Coming alongside of them and together making something beautiful of your life together as this Reformed congregation here in Thunder Bay. How loyal are you to one another? How faithful? How loving? And the money thing. The possessions. Are you comfortable with meeting the Lord tonight? Should He call you home? And the Lord says to you, dear friend, I have entrusted you with such and such in monetary terms. Did you make 5 more talents? Did you make 2 more? What kind of interest did I get out of your life with this little bit of money I gave you, even if it was $20 million? Like, just a little bit of money I gave you. Have you been faithful in little so that I can make you faithful over much? What changes might you have to make? What changes might I have to make? And the big question is, how are you and I going to make the changes? And this is always my favorite part of the sermon. How are we going to make the changes? The Lord Jesus Christ says to you and me this afternoon, I want you to come to me because I'm your Savior, I'm your mediator, I'm your substitute. And I came to earth to make something very beautiful out of my life. Creatively and lovingly beautiful out of my life for you. In fact, I made something so creatively and lovingly beautiful that I even laid down my life on the cross of Calvary for all of your not making something creatively and lovingly beautiful with your lives. I did that for you. And now what I've done for you, I want to do in you. Because I know, this is like Jesus speaking, I know that most, if not all of you here in the pew, including the man who is speaking to you, feels that perhaps, probably, we haven't given the Lord the interest that He deserves. And so we need grace. And Jesus says to you and me this afternoon, come. Come to me, all you are labor, who are tired and heavy laden, and I will give you grace. I'll give you forgiving grace for not having made something beautiful out of your life. But keep coming to me, says Jesus. I'll also give you liberating grace. Because the reason why you haven't really made your life into something more beautiful as it should have been is because you're still enslaved to things. And I'm going to give you liberating grace that will free you from those kind of things. And keep coming, says Jesus. Keep coming. Because I not only want to give you forgiving grace and liberating grace, I also want to give you healing grace so that it is no longer you who live, but I who live in you. And then the mystery takes place. Amen.